Print Geeks.
Because you didn't realize the world of print management is so awesome.
Wow, the print management industry is so interesting.
See?
Print Geeks.
Hello, and welcome to Print Geeks, your one-stop podcast for all things geeky about print and tech, presented by Papercut Software. I am your host, Papercutter Kieran, tech journalist, scourge on word counts, bootleg Bruce Willis. And on today's episode, we are joined by John Behager of Pittsburgh Technical College. And he's going to tell us all about how Papercut helped them solve their printing problems. But before we get into that, John, tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Pittsburgh Technical College.
Sure. So Pittsburgh Technical College is it started as a career college. I think we've kind of gone out and, you know, obtained bachelor's degrees, 4-year degrees. We're still based as a career college. Founded, you're really testing my knowledge here, 1940s or 50s. Don't fact check. You'll have to fact check me on that, I should say. It started out as teaching CAD, and we brought electronics in. Yep. And then there was just a myriad of other things. Like, I remember when we started up, you know, computer training for like actual IT. And yep. We brought on all of these different degrees, graphics design, which of course needs color prints, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you know, everything from video to medical, which, you know, probably the medical team, like nursing and surge tech, are probably, they're our biggest consumers of color copies, because I love to look at their instruments in color, you know, like the various operating tools.
Yep.
So, but getting back to PTC, so we've been around for a good long while. I've been with them since circa 2000, mm-hmm. Somewhere around there. And so I've got about 23 years with them. And I've come up from starting as a tech, the way to director of network ops. And probably the last 10 years, I have to say 13 years, I've been, you know, in network operations as far as a director or, manager.
Yeah.
And one of the people that I work, Bill Showers, he's my CIO, but he became my director in, I want to say 2010.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where our story with Papercut kind of began.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was an opportunity when he came in as the director of IT.
Yeah.
To make some changes, right?
Yeah.
And to kind of take us from, you know, what we were doing for the prior 10. Oh my gosh, I can't even think how they did printing. Because when I came in,
yeah,
we had, you know, again, we're in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Actually, now we're in Oakdale, PA, which is a suburb. Actually, it's like the country.
Yeah.
It's about 15 miles outside of Pittsburgh. But when I started, we were in the heart of Pittsburgh in a 7 or 8 story building.
Mm.
And I got to be honest, I don't remember what they did for printing.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I could tell you. They had a trusty HP LaserJet 4 in the corner of the room. And it was just like someone's abandoned mess. They, you know, they had prints all hanging out of it. And, you know, of course you were limited on how much you can print, because, you know, that was like NT4, Windows 95.
Wow. I mean,
that's, you know, circa 1999, 2000.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, we were limited by that. Mm. And we were limited by, you know, what kind of applications actually did volume printing, right?
Going back
23 years, right? PDFs were kind of like new at that point, you know?
Yes.
right. So, you know, you didn't get books in PDF form. You didn't print them out like you do today.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit different. And then when we moved out to the new campus out in Oakdale, that's kind of where we planned. We said, hey, we knew the printing was going to be a big component of student success.
Yeah.
And at first, I remember, because I kind of partly came up with the solution. Mm. We just had a whole bunch of printers. And what we'd do is we wouldn't manage them. What we'd do is we'd put banner pages so that when, you know, a student ABC123 printed something,
yeah,
everything that followed the banner page was theirs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they just load up on these printers. And I remember reams and reams of paper. What the office people would do is they'd come down and they take all the abandoned stuff, all the abandoned prints, and they'd have someone in the print center cut them up and they'd make notepads out of it. And I'm sure somewhere in that building today, there's probably some of these fabricated notepads somewhere in that building.
Yeah.
I've got to reminisce now with other people that have been there that long as me. But yeah, we'd actually have these old, you know, things that got abandoned on the printer.
Yeah.
And then what we did was we kind of toughened it up.
Yeah.
We actually had someone, like, I don't want to say man the printer, because I don't think that's PC now, but but they would mind the printers,
yeah,
right? And yeah, and they'd actually, you know, they'd know who the offenders were,
yeah,
and they'd kind of tell them, hey, knock it off.
Yeah, stop that.
right. And we'd actually take them, you know, and kind of like sort them out. And we extended some of our, I want to say print services to like, they do a color flight, right?
Which yeah,
was,
yeah, yeah.
Right. So from before you actually go to print, you do a flight, which is like a check. And we had people that were in those programs, manning, again, not manning, but minding or managing the print center. And they were in there and they do the flight check. And these students were just unbelievable. And then when they went to print, you know, they take it over to the actual print press that we had and do the final printout. So, but that was an unbelievable amount of people power. We had at one time in that print center, we had probably 4 to 6 student workers, and I had one person dedicated to printing. And if you were a student, if you were on any of the 6 floors in this, you know, the current building that that houses PTC,
yeah,
you would have to come down to this one spot in the building called the print center.
Wow.
Right. And I'm doing air quotes here. It was the print center because everybody knew what the print center was.
Yeah.
And one of our student workers would, you know, grab your print and you'd say your username and they'd give it to you.
Yeah, right. And
yeah, we actually modified, it was like a closet with this door, and it was tough because people would like pop their head in and say, I need, you know, this. And then they ended up making like one of those 2-section doors, kind of like when you think of like Mr. Ed hanging over the door. It was like that, but the top would open and, you know, independent from the bottom.
Yeah.
And they just open the top,
yeah,
and they'd lay the prints down.
Wow.
And then someone said, well, you know what? We have some challenges with disabled students, you know, being able to get over to the door. So they actually modified this closet and put a roll down like steel shutter, and they'd open the print center in the morning, and it was, you know, it was like waist high, and it had a long table so they could lay all the prints out, and it was still, you know, handicap accessible.
Yeah.
So that was prior, of course, to paper cut.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it might sound like I'm embellishing the story, but it's literally,
yeah,
it was literally that. So my boss, my CIO, Bill Showers, he came in 2010, and I'll tell you, he was like, you know what, we're going to control print volumes by using software.
Wow.
And everybody was like, the students are going to riot.
Yeah.
Like everyone's going to riot.
Yeah.
And we put it in, and there were probably a little bit of a culture change, but yeah. within 2 years, I think maybe a year, year and a half, people realized we weren't trying to be bad, you know, the bad guys. No. We were trying to just kind of control our consumption.
Yeah. And make users value and appreciate it. So, but when the when the software was first implemented, did you still have the print center, or was it more you then had a distributed fleet?
Well, no, actually, we had the print center.
So I still have the print center.
Yeah, yeah, and that lasted for probably about 6 months after.
Yep.
And then we were like, wait a second, let's just get like a kiosk and have the students release their own jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
And today, we're using QR codes to do the mobility print right from their phone, so they can release the jobs.
Yeah, totally.
And then probably about, ironically, about 6 months ago, we put electronic locks on all of our exterior doors for security purposes.
Yeah.
Because everybody's more security conscious, you know, not only in the virtual domain, but the physical domain.
Of course.
And our chief of police said, you know what, we need to control who goes in and out, and we want to do it electronically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we have these metal keys for staff that we can't track.
Mm.
And what we did was, now that everybody carries a swipe card, now they release with swipe.
Of course. Yeah.
Swipe. If they don't have swipe. Yeah. And what we were able to do over the last, literally it was like 6 months, is get rid of those dedicated PCs with like specialty software, you know, to kind of like overlay so that you could, you know, touch and actually punch your name in.
Yeah.
And we got rid of it. Now it's just a QR code and a swipe.
And
it's actually, I think it's working pretty good. We have not seen help desk tickets on it, but of course our staff always helps the students, so we don't see that intervention. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy.
Well, that's the thing that a print solution can provide.
Yeah, it was pretty well received.
Yeah, yeah. It provides that a print solution provides that simplicity for everybody, and it reduces those IT support tickets, which we always love.
yes. But there is a bit of a culture shift.
And, of course.
You know, yeah, I mean, people don't like change. I think I'm used to it now. I've worked in IT for 23 years.
If you work in IT, you're going to have to be an advocate of change, because it's technology changes daily.
exactly. I mean, just look at what in the last 3 years, right? I mean, I could tell you, March 2020.
Yeah.
I remember, like, we were all I wasn't panicked. Nobody was panicked, but they were like, hey, we gotta deal with this now.
Yeah.
And like, this pandemic is really serious. And you know what? Maybe we're just going to stay home for a little bit.
Mm.
And then like 3-4 months later, we're still home.
Yeah.
And that, talking about culture shock, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the United States, we were in our houses for, oh my gosh, probably 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
Right.
And
working from home.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, and I know it doesn't have anything to do with paper cut, but it has something to do, a lot to do with printing.
Totally.
Luckily we had a remote solution, which was VMware, right? And we didn't have to worry about that component.
Mm.
So we sent everybody home, and basically, you know, everybody was panicked that they could still, you know, be employed. And we had this great solution that we already had in place for the students, which was VDI, right?
Yeah.
VMware, right?
Yeah.
So luckily, we didn't have to worry about that.
Mm.
But since 2020, a lot of people's processes changed.
Yeah.
Stuff that they just print out, they didn't do anymore, because you couldn't get supplies, you couldn't get printers, you couldn't get toner.
Mm.
So that's a big piece of it.
Yeah.
And I think when everyone came back, and you know, I don't want to jinx it, but I think I can say like the pandemic's over, right?
It was declared WHO. They did announce about a month and a half ago. We're now in June of 2023, but they did declare that as a global health crisis, it is no longer a global health crisis. So we can safely say if it's not over, we are leaving the third act of the pandemic.
Yes. So I think coming out of it, habits have changed. So it's a lot easier. That old culture, I think, has been killed off,
definitely,
which is great.
Yeah.
You know, when I look back to what we did back then, like pre-pandemic, not even pre-paper cut, right? Like 2010, when we were, like, I want to say all cylinders were firing, right? The IT machine was working.
Yeah.
And we had those old print habits.
Yes.
I kid you not, we had a pallet of paper, literally a pallet. I'm not talking reams.
No.
Pallet of boxes of reams show up monthly.
Wow.
If not like every 3 weeks.
Wow.
And the paper output was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you have, I'm not putting our students down, but when you have teenagers, right, and you give them, you know, this resource.
Yes.
I mean, they don't think about it. It's like the hot water in my house, right?
Yeah.
My son will use it all up, right?
Yeah.
It's right, and you know, us as IT professionals, when we have some, you know, skin in the game,
yeah,
we realize, hey, wait. Wow, we're going through that much paper, you know, we should do something about it. And not only that, but a lot of our efforts were kind of helped. And this was pre-pandemic, of course. You know, this is circa 2010 when we put the solution in, was everybody looks to a green initiative, right? Nobody knew about those pallets of paper coming in every month.
Yeah.
I mean, That was substantial. We're killing a lot of trees.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we haven't used the component, but I think it's still a very big component of paper cut. But they show actually how much carbon emissions you save.
Yeah,
it was something back then. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, nobody was really interested in that figure, but you know, we did explain, you know, how much paper we were saving to our staff and faculty.
Yeah.
And they kind of, you know, told our students this was, you know, a green initiative. You know, it was a monetary initiative too, right?
Yeah.
But it's very wasteful.
Yeah.
So
visibility in general just like solves a lot of problems. And that's what a print solution can do, because it can just put in front of your face as a system administrator or as a user, like this is how much you're printing, this is how much you're wasting. It actually reminds me, I used to work in the education space, and I was programs. And I remember this one time we were delivering a program and the kids just needed to look up like an extract. They all had their phones, but they didn't have internet, and we didn't have internet in the youth center. So I was like, oh, just use my phone. So I made my phone a mobile hotspot, and I gave like 4 or 5 students the password so they could look up the extract. And then less than 5 minutes, my data was capped. I got a message being like, you've used all 30 gigabytes of your data. And I was like, what? Like the month rolled over yesterday. I should have like have 30. And yeah, they were Spotifying, they were watching YouTube, were stuff they weren't supposed to be doing, but they didn't think of it of what they were wasting. And then I turned it off. They're like, "Why'd you turn it off?" I was like, "Squad, you just incurred me a $100 bill," and they were like, "What?" They felt really bad.
Yeah, of
course. I was like, "We capped. That was my personal data, and we capped it." I probably should have said, don't use it for Spotify and YouTube, but I thought you'd just be doing it for the thing. But like bringing it back to printing, it's like that visibility of if there's a thing there, it goes, hey, you know, that's why anytime you go to the airport or whatever and that you use the public Wi-Fi, there's a timer or there's a cap. And if you open up a YouTube video, it's like boom, boom, and you drop out.
Yep.
It's very easy to waste printing because you don't think of, how much it is cost per page, you know, for the ink, the toner, the paper, the electricity, the man hours.
Yep.
For the IT people staff,
hours. People hours.
Yeah,
we'll
exactly. Gonna say not people hours. But yeah, and it's nobody's fault. Everyone's victim of the same thing, which is wasteful printing.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what? When we implemented it, we capped the students at a page count, and then, you know, there was a little bit of a justification period where,
of course,
they'd have to go to, you know, their academic chair and say, hey, this I need to get to the end of the quarter. Like, well, one thing that I'm very proud of, and of course, this is why I spent the last 23 years of my life at PTC,
yeah,
is that they don't try and nickel and dime students. So it was never about transferring costs to students. It was only about controlling costs for the equality of everyone.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what's, you know, again, that's kind of why, like, I've stayed at PTC so long. It's because they kind of get that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when a student would run out of print credit, as we called it, there was no money transaction. They just needed to get a justification, and that weeds out the people that are repeat offenders. Right. Because then they're going to an academic chair maybe 2-3 times a month, right? Mm. And I think we rolled it over every week. I don't remember. But they'd go to the academic chair, let's say, you know, 2-3 times a week when, you know, most people would not. And the academic chair would then have an opportunity to intervene to say, okay, what, why are you using all this print credit, right?
Yeah.
Whereas our staff and faculty, we didn't want to harass them and kind of rope them back. We want to, you know, let business continuity go ahead.
Yeah.
But at the same rate, if somebody is being wasteful, and we did find a couple people that were like printing every email out in color. And we're like, well, why? Why are you doing this? And they were like, because it, you know, you can just hit print.
Yeah.
So, right. And so then we started, you know, popping up every time, hey, it cost this much money to print.
Yeah.
And at first they were like, oh no, like I'm going to be charging this at the end of the month. And we're like, no. We just want you to understand that that email that you printed was like 25 cents between the paper, the toner, and the electricity.
Yeah.
Like, we want you to understand that.
Yeah.
That's all. And printing did curb itself because, like I, you know, like I speak about the magic of PTC, with our, you know, us not like nickel and diming students, the staff and faculty also, you know, feel very ingrained in the institution and the college and kind of take some pride. So once they realized, you know, they were eating up, you know, dollars just, you know, printing stuff out, they kind of curbed that back.
Yeah.
Not totally, but it did, you know, the one nice thing about the paper cut solution is that you have reporting.
Yes.
So you can actually quantify that and not, you know, as IT people, we don't want to, like, you know, report by user. We want to control the herd, right?
Yeah.
But so, I mean, you know, you can zoom down, which is nice. You can see, okay, you know, I have 2,000 prints this week, you know, 500 of them with this one user.
Yeah.
You can absolutely do that.
Someone's printing off War and Peace.
Exactly. But as IT professionals, what we want to see is, okay, you know, over a year, this was our print volume, right? And then, okay, we changed one aspect of that, maybe popping up a notification as they print.
Yeah.
How did that affect the rolling next 12 months?
Yeah.
Right. You could totally do that. That's what we did.
Yeah. And speak to me about, paper cut as a solution, it brought you that visibility through the reporting and it brought you that security and you could control the costs. You touched on mobility print. I'm a big fan in the grand scheme of printing, getting geeky about printing as we do on Print Geeks. I love talking to people about enabling printing and connecting those drivers and queues. I understand it, you're using mobility print and print deploy for deploying your drivers and queues?
Absolutely. So mobility print is great for the students because every student is an administrator of their PC.
Yeah.
So they can just pull up Mobility Print either with a QR code or a link and install the app and install what printers that they want. Yeah. So it's a no-brainer. The challenge is actually our staff and faculty.
Yeah.
If you have any kind first off, anybody other than administrators do not have administrative rights on their PC.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where Print Deploy came in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish we could make Mobility Print work because it works great for students, for staff and faculty. It's just the nature of the beast and how it works.
Yeah.
It's a deployable executable that installs the print drivers. Mm. So you have to have admin rights. But the Print Deploy is just a seamless interface for our users.
Yeah.
And that's actually what we use for our staff and faculty because, again, they don't have admin rights. And I think that's probably the sweet spot with the product is that we don't have to worry about the built-in point and print Microsoft stuff. I mean, I could geek out on you. And, you know, right now we're up to version 4 drivers. So Microsoft, right. Microsoft in NT1 and they had version 1 in, I think, 2003-ish. They came out with version 2. I forget I've been teaching it for the last 23 years. But version 3 came out. And then version 4 is fairly new with 2008, I want to say, but it might be 2012.
Yeah.
I can tell you when it was. It was when Steve Ballmer envisioned one interface for the Xbox for Windows 8. Yes.
It was
the Windows 8 interface. Yes. Yeah. He wanted it for the Xbox. He wanted it for the phone, the Nokia platform that kind of failed before it even started. Right. So that UWP, that unified Windows platform, that's what the version 4 drivers are for.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to make it easier for point and print. Mm. And but for the listeners that don't know what point and print is you have a Windows server, you share out a printer, and a client will just browse or network browse over to that share, double click on the printer, and automatically the print driver will download to the client PC and the print preferences will be set up.
Yeah.
And that sounds amazing. Mm. For an IT professional, it is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
If you switch versions of the driver, the client doesn't get the updated driver. If you switch print preferences, they don't always update. Deploying printers out that way is horrible. Microsoft made some better efforts in, I want to say 08, 2012. I want to say 08 with deploying printers out through GPO and print their version of printer deployment. But it still wasn't great. Mm. And then, you know, then comes along, you know, in 2010, we adopted it, Papercut. And, you know, that Mobility Print just packages up the drivers and sends it to the client. And it just seamlessly works.
Yeah.
The Print Deploy, we use it as an enterprise solution. Mm. We don't use the version 4 drivers. It's kind of a letdown.
Yes.
They're supposed to be better.
Yeah.
But we've found that, yeah, they're better, but they have less functionality.
We've often spoken on this podcast about version 4 versus version 3 drivers. And our standard suggestion is if you want less headaches, go with version 3. Go with type 3 drivers.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
And I could tell you, I remember when version 1, I could tell you what the difference was. It was either version 1 or version 2. What happened was the driver used to be in the NT kernel. And when I forget if it was version 1 or version 2, but when they went to the next version, whether it be 2 or 3, let me think about that. I don't remember the times. They actually put it in the user space.
Yeah.
Because back with XP, I remember we pushed out drivers and clients were doing the point and print by going to the actually just reconnecting to the share. And when they would print, their computers would blue screen because that's what the effect of an older version driver would do.
Yeah.
Is it would live in the NT kernel. So therefore it would affect the operating system at that very low level. And I want to say version 3 fixed that. But I don't remember if it was version 2 or version 3.
Mm.
So I have lived some printing nightmares.
Oh, of course. Before Print Nightmare came around, that's one thing we've also discussed is Print Nightmare was a juicy headline for people, but it was like, when is printing not been a nightmare as a sysadmin?
Yeah. There was a good 3 months where we were calling vendors and we were like, do you have a solution for this print nightmare?
Mm.
Because we were like dead in the water. And every day we'd have to diddle around with our firewall rules.
Wow.
Or we just have to open it up. Oof. And we were like, we can't continue like this because having all these ports out. And I remember calling a couple of vendors and one of the vendors said, they were like, well, Microsoft doesn't have a fix. And I remember we called Papercut and Papercut was like, listen, we've got a blog. Just keep watching the blog. As soon as we get it figured out, or I should say, as soon as Microsoft gets it figured out, we will post what we recommend.
Yeah.
And that's actually how we solved the problem.
Wow.
I think we got different challenges now because we're still dealing with the same, whether you're deploying it out through Mobility Print. Well, Mobility Print works a little different. So let me not say that. But if you're deploying it out with Print Deploy, you could do it through Internet IPPP. I forget what that stands for.
Internet Printing Protocol.
Yeah. Or you could do it through the RPC method, which is, you know, the tried and true. Mm. And we're still using that. And that's still using remote procedure calls.
Yeah.
And although we trimmed it down to only about 20 ports in the range and not the whole, 65,000 ports that you could potentially use, that's still an open, exploitable entry point for a threat actor to come in. So I think looking forward, we're trying to adopt cloud, but I got to be very frank with you. Like we looked at Microsoft Cloud Print and other vendors. No offense, we've looked at other vendors.
Yeah.
And they all fall short of controlling prints.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, yes, you can go to a Cloud Print, Microsoft CP, Cloud Print, I think it's called CP.
Universal Print, do you mean? Microsoft Universal Print?
No. They have a Cloud Print offering.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. Actually, I think it's called PC or might be CP or PC.
Yeah.
But they have their own cloud printing and you can use it with Azure. But if you want to use that functionality, one, you don't have all of the functionality that the vendor drivers will have, like collating and duplexing and hole punch and staple.
Yeah.
So you got to give up a little bit of that.
Yeah, finishing
but then
options.
The killer for me is you got to give up controlling prints.
Yeah.
Everybody gets, and I don't even understand what Microsoft's thought process is. I'm sorry, I'm bashing Microsoft. I really am. But Microsoft, they've released this thing. Like you remember the old Google print, right? The cloud printing. That was awesome. No matter what computer you were on, as long as your browsers were connected, you could print to like your home printer. That's kind of what this Microsoft cloud printing is like, but there's no way to control it. So if we deploy this out, one, Microsoft charges us X number of pennies for each print over what we're allotted. So now we're taking on the cost of this ease of access called cloud print. And there's no way to stop a student from printing out a book and overrunning costs, not only for toner, for paper and electric, but for our cloud print credits from Microsoft.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of, again, where Paper Cut comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually, believe it or not, tomorrow, I have a call set up with one of the local vendors to talk about Paper Cut Hive.
Right.
Yeah, when I looked at it 6-8 months ago, they were like, well, you know, we're not doing it for education because we want to test it out. And it's still not beta, it was released, but we want to make sure it's good because we've released it to small businesses. And they were, I don't want to say guinea pigs, but they were, you know, fine tuning it.
Yeah.
Because education and larger enterprises are kind of Paper Cut's bread and butter.
Yeah.
And I respect that. And and I think it's now ready because one of the other big colleges in the area are actually adopting it. They might have adopted it already.
Yeah.
So we're excited. Like if we can go to Paper Cut Hive,
yeah.
We'll have all of the benefits of cloud printing through Paper Cut, you know, which is reporting, the security, right, the deployability.
Yeah.
Just all cloud based. So
yeah.
Hopefully everything works out tomorrow on the call. It's going to be a great tech call.
Well, you let them know that you've spoken to Papercut, and we'll help you out with the deployment if you do end up migrating to Papercut Hive. But John, we're nearly at our time today. Let's wrap it up with overall. How would you describe Papercut as a solution for printing?
Oh, I could tell you, time saver, cost cutter.
Yeah, right.
You asked me earlier before off air how much time I spend, or you know, you were going to ask me how much time I spend on printing.
Yeah,
it's absolutely zero.
Wow.
I mean, my help desk people might say a little bit different because hey, you know, it's printing.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And sometimes we got to wipe out the print deploy cache and you know, put it in.
Yeah,
but that's because someone traveled home or was in the middle of a Windows update.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah,
right?
It's technology.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But cost, it absolutely shred our costs. I said we were getting a pallet of paper every 3 weeks to a month. We're now getting a pallet of paper every 6 months.
Wow.
And that's the difference.
That's massive.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge drop.
Yeah.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining us on Print Geeks. It's been an absolute pleasure. I could geek out with you about printing all the time. If you've enjoyed hearing from John, do make sure that you go onto YouTube and search Networked Minds for John's YouTube channel. John, have you got any other plugs or shout outs you'd like to throw out there?
Well, I'm an author for Wiley's A Plus and Network Plus and CCNA Cisco. I'm working with one of my idols, Todd Lamley, a guy that taught me Cisco networking. So buy my books.
Buy his books. Please buy John's books. And you can find them at johnbehager.com, where you can read all about, I'm just looking at the books now, there's a lot. So if you want some
a lot of them are tech edits.
If you want some technological reading, go check it out. John, thank you so much for coming on Print Geeks. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Until next time, hit that subscription bell note button and keep printing thoughtfully.